God is good, and all the time. My name is John, and I am blessed to serve as a pastor here. And if I haven't had a chance to meet you, my wife, Joy, and I will be right out there in the foyer there by all the blue gift bags. And we would love just to meet you and to say hi and to thank you for being here today. I'm going to invite you to find your way to Joshua. Hey, Joshua, some of you have a printed Bible, some of you on your phone, maybe even on the YouVersion Bible app, but find your way to Joshua. We're going to be in Joshua 24. Now, this morning, we got to take a moment just to acknowledge someone. I see Miss Betty Carter back there. Miss Betty, could you wave at us? She's even going to stand for us. Miss Betty turns 99 years old tomorrow. Yeah. So, in our passage today, it says someone was advanced in age, and so I think that applies to Miss Betty. Joshua's 110 in our passage, and maybe Miss Betty, are you striving for 110? Yeah, all right, she's going for it, all right. So, but great to have her here in service almost every Sunday morning. She comes right through there. Daughter's faithful to bring her, and great. You know, Hallmark is filled with long-time faithful men and women. And the reason that we're here and enjoying this great facility is because of people like Betty and all those that have gone before us. And so we want to honor her today. And so if you see after church, wish her happy birthday. We have been talking about this word beyond. Our theme for the year is 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3 through 5. I've challenged you to set your phone alarm at 8:35, either a.m. or p.m. or, you know, if you're really an overachiever, you could do both evening and in the morning, but 8:35 to pray. So let's take time to read 2 Corinthians 8 through 5. It says, I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond. This is Paul writing about churches in Macedonia. And he says, they, beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Now, he's specifically talking about giving and about an offering they were taking, but he goes on to describe these churches in Macedonia. He says, they were imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Verse 5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So our challenge for you this year and next is that you would go beyond in your faith and in your fellowship. So in verse 3 talks about going beyond. Verse 5 talks about these two ideas of faith and fellowship. They first gave themselves to the Lord. So we want to challenge you this year. Would you make a commitment to go beyond in your commitment to God? Go beyond in your faith. Secondly, it says, and then to us, to the church, to the mission of Christ, to advance the kingdom for his glory. This is the understanding we're using as beyond in our fellowship. That you would make a commitment to God, your faith, that you would make a commitment to the local church, that you would go beyond. Really in three areas that we want to look at this, we want to challenge you over the next couple years to really think about going beyond in your faith and your fellowship in kind of three different avenues. The first is in serving, like give yourself to the work of God, whatever that looks like. You know, it doesn't have to be a program started by the church. You know your community, you know your neighborhood, you know the school that maybe your kids attend, you know the needs around you. Just start serving the Lord in your neighborhood, in your community. We have one of our members that every day they go to work right down there on Lancaster, and so they see the homeless need, and so God just gave them a burden to start making sandwiches and handing out. It's not a church initiative. It's when God just puts something on your heart to do kingdom work. Serve. Just go do it, okay? The second one is go and to take a step in faith. And specifically, we're going to challenge you over the next couple years to consider going on a mission trip. Mission trips and going on a trip will transform your life. It'll give you new perspective. And so be paying attention. If you're interested in some kind of mission trip in the next like 6 weeks, I'm giving myself a little bit of time here, but I want to provide a class called Mission Trip 101. And it's just going to kind of give you the basics. If you've ever thought about going on a mission trip, here's something you might consider. We're going to kind of have out the next 2 or 3 years worth of trips planned out, at least the general dates and places and costs. And so just be paying attention for that. And the third area is what we see in the text in 2 Corinthians 8, to give, to step out in faith and give generously. So in the next few weeks, we're going to look at some different characters in the Bible that that we could emulate or that modeled for us these three different things: serving, going, and giving. So today we're going to look at Joshua and the idea of serving. So in Joshua chapter 24 is where we're going to be. It's the famous passage. But before we get to Joshua 24, I want to read a few verses in Joshua 23 that set up the stage or the context for Joshua 24. In Joshua 23, we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to read 6 through 8. Verse 1, Joshua 23. Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies, round about that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all the Israel, their elders, their heads, their judges, their officers, and said to them, I'm old, advanced in age. He's 110 years old, we're going to find out later. Joshua, as most scholars agree, that he took over for Moses when he was 85 years old. It took about 7 years for the conquest, and so he's what he's saying here is we've 25 years later, after we have entered the land, I'm old in advance. Verse 3, you've seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. This is a great verse. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. Aren't you thankful the Lord fights our battles for us? Verse 6, chapter 23, therefore, be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But, verse number 8, you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. What a great word. Joshua's talking to the leaders. He's reminding them of the faithfulness of God, that God has fulfilled his promises, and he's encouraging the leaders, as he knows his life is coming to an end, to hold fast, to stay true to God. Don't serve the gods of the other nations. And that's where we pick up the story in Joshua 24. Joshua now gathers the people of Israel. It seems like from chapter 23, he's talking to the leaders, and chapter 24, now he's talking to the nation. Verse number 1, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. If you're interested in more, we're going to kind of dig into that. Shechem was an important place in the nation, in the history of the nation of Israel. So Wednesday night at 6:30, we'll dig into that a little more. He called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, their judges, and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Verse 2, Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel. So now we're going to see that Joshua is speaking to the nation of Israel, and he's saying, I have a word from the Lord. What God is wanting to reveal to you, as I, Joshua, am about to die. He says, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river, that's the river Euphrates, in old times, and they served other gods. I don't have time to really dig into this, but notice here what it says. Abraham, who was the father of the nation of Israel, when God showed up and called him, was serving other gods. God did not call Abraham because he was some special servant of the Lord. God simply chose Abraham. God didn't choose me because I was some special person of the Lord. God just chose me. And I'm thankful that he did. Verse 3, then I want you to notice between verse 3 and verse 13, the language used. It's God speaking, Joshua speaking on behalf of God, but God is saying, I, and then there's like this action, this verb. Think about what Joshua is revealing to the people, his last message to the people. Verse 3, then I, God, took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac, I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau, I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also, I sent Moses and Aaron. I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. Verse 6, then I brought your fathers out of Egypt. You came to the sea, and the Egyptians paused your fathers, pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw that what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time, 40 years. Verse 8, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, but I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Gershites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. And verse 13 just kind of summarizes what God is speaking to the nation of Israel through Joshua. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you did not build. You dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. What a summary of the history of the nation of Israel. And what is God saying? God is revealing and God is reminding the people of Israel that God is good, that God is faithful, and that God is powerful. I mean, just think these words as you kind of look through this. Verse 5, I brought you out. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out. Verse 8, I brought you into the land. I gave them into your hand. I destroyed them before you. Verse 10, I delivered you out of his hand. Verse 11, I delivered them into your hand. Verse 13, I have given you a land. God is good and all the time. That's what Joshua, I picture Joshua after he gets done saying this, saying that to the people, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And Joshua is just trying to encourage the people to remind them, God has been faithful. Has God been faithful to you? Has God been faithful to you? In case we doubt the faithfulness of God, turn back a few pages to Joshua chapter 21. Here's this great, a couple verse summary. Now, if you want to go back a little farther in your study this week, you might write out Exodus 6, verses 6 through 8. We're not going to take time to read it, but that's when God showed up to Moses and God promised these things. But in Joshua 21, verse 43, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he had sworn to give their fathers. They took possession of it and dwelt in it. Verse 44, the Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Listen to verse 45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. God was faithful. God promised, and God delivered. So we've looked at this summary. Again, this is Joshua standing before the people. He's speaking on behalf of God. And we kind of transition from verse 13 to verse 14 of Joshua speaking on behalf of God to now Joshua speaking to the people. And Joshua gives him this challenge. All right, let's read verses 14 and 15, Joshua 24. And he says, starts off, verse 14, now therefore. What does this mean, now therefore? So here's what it means. Based on what we've just discussed in verses 1 through 13, that God is good, that God is faithful, that God has delivered, that God's word never fails, that he has kept his promises, based on the goodness of God, what is our response? Interesting enough this morning, I didn't think of it ahead of time, maybe Stefan, our worship leader, did, but that second song we sang here talked about the goodness of God, that he never fails. And then if you notice, we went to the last song, we kind of just sang a portion of the song, The Stand. And it was as a response to the goodness of God. When I understand how God has been so good and so faithful and involved personally in my life, what is my response? We just sang about it. But this is what Joshua says. So in light of verses 1 through 13, that God has been faithful all these years, generation after generation, he has kept his promise. He's done what he said he would do. Here's the challenge, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's powerful. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The challenge, right? So he gives these two commands. If you're filling out your outline this morning, here's the blanks. I don't want you to miss them. Two commands he gives us as he challenges the people because of God's faithfulness. What is my response? The first one, fear the Lord. Now, fear the Lord, we see in Scripture there's instances and there's reasons for us to fear, like to have a terror of the Lord, because one day he is going to judge all things. There is going to be a final judgment day, and we should be reminded of that. We should encourage and warn people of that, that one day we're going to stand and give an account. And if we've not placed our faith in Jesus Christ, God will say, I never knew you, and cast us into eternal punishment, eternal damnation. We should fear that. Do you agree with that? There is a fear of the terror of God, that God is, yes, he's loving, but God is just. And because God is just and because God is love, he has to punish sin. So there is a fear in that understanding of a fear of God. But this is speaking more of an awe and a reverence, really in light of, look what God has done for you. Look how God has blessed you. Look at how God has rescued you. Look how God has delivered you. And in light of that, you should have this awe and this reverence and this fear of God, that I don't want to disappoint my good God. When I consider the works of God, David said, and yet you're mindful of me, like the creator of the universe knows your name. Billy mentioned one of our core values is to be personally involved. Really, that is a hallmark, a core value that emulates Jesus. It emulates God. God came to us. And I'm thankful he got personally involved in my life. And because of my awe and my fear and my reverence of God, you see, it says on your paper there, a proper fear of the Lord leads to humble service to the Lord. When I put God in his proper place and I fear God, it always leads me to serve God. Joshua says, fear the Lord. And then the second command here is serve the Lord. Live your life for him. That's what that last song was about. I surrender everything. God, my life is yours. You've heard it said by a lot of different pastors, like, your life is simply writing a blank check and signing your name to it. Everyone under the age of 40 doesn't even know what a blank check is, right? It's like giving somebody your ATM card and saying, spend it however you want it. Giving somebody your Cash App, your Square, I don't know, whatever the young people are using today, Venmo, spend it all. When I have a healthy fear of God, it leads me to have a proper view of God, which leads me to serve God. God, you've been so good to me. You've been so faithful to me. God, how can I serve you? How can I reveal my love to you? Here's some notes that he gives us about serving. These are also blanks on your outline this morning. It says, Joshua says, serve in sincerity and truth. So the marker here is really truth. Because you can serve or you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. You understand that, don't you? Like, just because you're genuine and sincere doesn't mean you're right. This is why one of really the core value, the key hallmark of Hallmark is we're going to be biblically driven. We can be sincere and we can be loving, but if we're not truthful, it's no value. We want to have serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. This is what Jesus said, John 17:17. He's speaking to the God. It's his prayer. He says, Lord, sanctify them by your truth. And then he says, your word is truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I'm the way and I am the, what's the next one? Truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And so we understand we want to serve in sincerity and genuineness of heart, but it has to be grounded in truth. For me and for a church to just be loving and be gracious and be merciful, but not speak the truth, really is not merciful, gracious, or loving. The most loving thing I can do as a follower of Jesus is tell you the truth. That we are born separated from a holy, righteous God. And the only way to get to God and to have forgiveness of sins is to place our faith in Jesus Christ. We want to serve in sincerity and truth. Verse 14, the next one, serve him exclusively. Jesus said you can't serve two masters in Matthew chapter 6. You might just write out this question. Who am I serving? Who has my heart? Go back and look over your priorities this past first month of the year. Your priorities will reveal to you your God. Joshua reminds us, serve him in sincerity and truth. Serve him exclusively. The third one here, serve him daily. Choose this day whom you will serve. I love this quote on your, it's on your paper, it'll be on the screen. Serving God is a lifetime decision demonstrated through daily devotion. Serving God is a lifetime decision demonstrated through daily devotion. All right, so there's Joshua's challenge to the people. Who are you going to serve? Joshua's choice, verse 15. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua says, hey, choose today. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to put away the other gods? Are you going to serve God exclusively? Are you going to serve him in sincerity and truth? Are you going to serve him daily? I don't know what you're going to choose, but Joshua stands before the people of Israel and says, today, me and my house will serve the Lord. I think these words are important. I think Joshua's words are very important. Understand that what we see in Scripture is that the leader of the home is to be the husband, the dad. And Joshua stands before the people and says, as the leader of my home, we will serve the Lord. Let me just take an opportunity for a moment then, men, to challenge you. Joshua stood before the people and said, today? Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what this church needs? You know what this community needs? You know what our country needs? Men to step up like Joshua. Say, I don't know about you, but me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know one of the questions my kids never ask me on a Saturday afternoon? My kids, not once, ever ask me, are we going to church tomorrow? It was not up for debate. It was not a question to be asked because it was a habit that we had created. Why? Because I said, I don't know about you, but me and my house will serve the Lord. Now, when you're 18 and out of my house, you got your own choice to make, buddy, right? But if you're in my house, I've made the decision. We'll serve the Lord. Men, I want you to, there's going to be a picture on the screen of a book titled Titus 10. Men, I think there's going to be, there it is, and a schedule. Men, you ought to get your phone out and you ought to take a picture of this screen, okay? Because this is your reminder. I'm going to challenge you, men, if you want to be like Joshua, step up, lead your home, and make the decision, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, then I'm going to challenge you to join this Bible study, okay? What you need to do is just show up, okay? Before you show up, what you need to do is go to Amazon, look up Titus 10, that's the book right there by Josh Smith. I want you to purchase the book before you show up on either the Thursday night or on the Saturday morning. Read the introduction in the first chapter. Hey guys, I have faith in you, you can do it. I don't know if you're confident about that. Guys, could you do that, yes or no? All right, so I'm going to challenge you to do that. We've had about 30 men over the last 6 months go through this study, and it completely transformed the way they look at their leadership in their home. So this is why I'm asking you. Many of the ones that already went through this study, they're signing up. They're going to do it again, okay? And they don't know it, but they're going to help lead it, okay? I heard this illustration yesterday. I don't remember all the details, but I think it was pretty powerful. The guy was, Skip Heitzik was telling a story about, I don't even know if it's a true story, but that's beside the point. He's talking about two tugboats. Somehow, the captains decide they're going to race. I don't know about you, but it seems like sometimes men can be a little bit competitive. Have you experienced that? Over the stupidest things. Okay. So they're speeding down, they're throwing all the coal in, they're racing. This one boat is just like steaming on ahead. And guess what happens to the boat that's in the lead? Runs out of coal. And guess what then happens? They start losing. Then they decide, let's just throw what we have in the fire. And they realized it didn't matter what they threw in the fire, it was gonna propel them to victory. So they ended up throwing the cargo into the fire over and over and over again. And then they came back and they won the race. Can we say, yeah? They won the race, but they burned up all the cargo. And I think it pictures a lot of families today. We might be winning the race, but we've burned up the precious cargo. You see, men, your priorities are powerful. Joshua stood before the people, and he said, today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was Joshua's choice. Now the people's choice. Verses 16 through 31. I don't have time to read it all, so Follow along with me. Verse 16. The people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did these signs in our sight and preserved us." You see, they're using the same language. He brought us out. He preserved us and all the way went among all the people through whom we passed. Verse 18. The Lord drove them out from before us, all the people. And then they said, "We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Joshua then goes on to say, "Are you sure? Do you understand the commitment you're making?" Verse 20, he says, "If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he's done you good." People said, verse 21, to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." They doubled down on it. Joshua said to the people, verse 22, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourself to serve him." And they said, we are witnesses. Yes, we choose to serve the Lord. We understand that this is a commitment. We understand that if today we make a covenant that we are choosing to walk in obedience and receive the blessings of God, that if we choose to walk in disobedience, then we will receive the cursings of God. We are witnesses against ourselves. Yes, we sign us up. Verse 23, I wish we had time to dig into this. Look what it says. Therefore, he said, okay, man, I want you to think about this. Let's all think about this. If we're saying yes to the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm all in. I'm committed. He's my priority. Joshua says, listen then, put away the foreign gods which are among you. Let me put that in our context. You may need to change your priorities. You may need to shift who's first in your life, what's getting your attention, what you're chasing after. You're winning the race, but are you in the right race? Put away the foreign gods which are among you. And I want to give you some homework today for this week. Verse 23, put away the foreign gods. You wrestle with God this week. God, what's taken the priority away from you? Okay, men, women, everyone in here, could you just shake your head? Yes, I'm gonna do that, okay? Some of you, I'm gonna be like Joshua. Are you sure that you're going to take the time to evaluate your priorities? The second thing he says in verse 23, incline your heart to the Lord. Lean into God. Incline your heart to the Lord. God, I want to hear from you. God, I want to serve you. God, I want to lead well. Incline your heart to the Lord. I want you to consider this week, what would it mean for you to incline your heart to the Lord? To just kind of tune your ear into God's voice. I'm giving you a hint of what it means to incline your heart to the Lord. What did Jesus pray? Sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. What does it mean for you this week to incline your heart to the Lord? I'll just tell you the rest of the story. So Joshua puts this stone up, a stone of remembrance, and tells the people, all right, when you look at the stone, remember, you made a covenant to put God first, to serve him in sincerity and truth, exclusively and daily. And then Joshua dies. And the last verse that we're going to read, verse 31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, in all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. For a season, we won't go past what it says here, for a season, they lived up to their commitment. What would it look like in our church and in our community, in our country, if we chose to put away our gods, incline our heart to the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth exclusively every day? Things would change, wouldn't they? The first thing that would change would be us. Can I just ask you to close your eyes for a moment? We're going to close the service out in the time of worship through music. Last week, many of you came to the altar and you just prayed. You made a commitment last week that you were going to pray that God would help you go beyond in your faith and your fellowship. And today, I want to challenge you again. If you would make a decision today to choose to serve him in sincerity and truth exclusively daily. And today it may just be, God, I need help to commit to you. But God, I'm going to try. I'm going to pursue you. If that's you this morning, in fact, I'm just going to ask you, as your eyes are closed, if you would make a commitment. I'm going to strive. I'm going to at least do what you. I'm going to do what you ask. I'm going to go home and check my priorities, and I'm going to dig into what it means for me personally to incline my heart to God. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Just put your hand up. All right, it's about like last week. Most of us. I'm going to challenge you again. Then come to the altar and pray about it. There's power in prayer. There's power in you publicly walking forward and before your church and saying, sign me up. Would you stand with me? God, we thank you for your grace in our life. Lord, we thank you for mercy and love. Thank you for the story of Joshua who made a commitment. Lord, even as what we see in our text today, that the people made a commitment. And for a season, they lived it out. Help each of us, Lord. Help each of us, Lord, to put away our gods, to incline our heart to you, and see what you could do through us.